praise our Heavenly Father this morning. Amen.
Silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory.
Come on.
Let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll watch the giants fall. We cannot survive when we praise you. The God who breakers on our side, forever lift him high, with all creation cry, God. Song that calms the storm inside me. Let it rise, let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God who breakers on our side, this is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Pray.
Hallelujah. Will you crown him today?
Imagine so great a mercy, what heart could Back in 2012, I got in the truck with my dad, and he took me to Birmingham. When we got to Birmingham, I got out of the truck, and I went and got in a long line to get my bib number to run in the Mercedes Marathon. It was freezing that morning. I will never forget it. And then once we all got our bibs, we stood in this huge mass of people at the starting line. I was so excited. I had trained for this. It was finally the day. I'll never forget when the gun went off and all of us tore out and we were running. Now, if I told you that same story, but I changed the ending just a little bit, and I said, and when the gun went off, we all stood at the starting line and looked at one another. Would you think that I was crazy? Of course you would. Unfortunately, as Christians, I'm afraid sometimes we do that. We place our faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we're just like, okay, I did it. I did it. We're good. That ain't it. And we're going to see that in our text today. Paul's going to teach us. And if you've been wondering, I'm a Christian, but now what? Well, that's also going to be answered in a roundabout way in this message today, too. One of the most dangerous places a Christian can reach is a place where they believe that they've gone far enough. Today, know this, if Christ has made you His, press on to become like Him. Him, Christ-likeness. We do not press on to be saved. That ain't it. We're not doing works to earn salvation. We're pressing on towards Christ-likeness because He's given us His Holy Spirit and called us to be like Him. How many times did Jesus say throughout His teachings, follow Me. Follow Me. Paul knew that he had not arrived. So what does that tell Philip this morning? If Paul writes this letter to the Philippians and said, I have not arrived, guess who else has not arrived? Me. I have not arrived. In these verses, we're going to look at what a Christian life should look like. Once Christ has taken hold of you, then you must admit you're not there yet. Admit you're not there yet. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, okay, or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Do not overlook that part at the end, this image. I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. That word there is apprehended. And when I think of somebody being apprehended, I think of a video of a police officer who has finally ended his pursuit, and he tackles that guy and brings him there. He apprehends the suspect. That's the first step. Christ Jesus has to have laid hold of you and made you His own. That's the first step before any of this can occur. And one other thing that I want to think about that. You know, have you ever fallen and somebody, or maybe you're not falling, but you're trying to get to a higher elevation and somebody reaches down and they put a firm grip either on your hand or on your forearm and pull up? What do you do? What is your response when that happens? Especially if it's one of the forearm ones. Do you just pull me? Here I am. What do? If you really want to go higher, what do? You grip. And so today, I want that image to be in your hearts and in your minds. If Christ Jesus has reached down and apprehended you, I want you to firm that grip up on Him as well, because He's the only way you're going to go higher. Amen? Amen. Three terms before we head off. Perfect. We got to be clear on this. This is not sinless perfection. The Bible tells us time and time again that we are sinners, and that will be our lot, unfortunately, until we are sanctified on the other side. So it's not sinless perfection in this life, but it's spiritual maturity and completeness in Christ Jesus. Press on. This term he uses multiple times. Pressing on is an active pursuit of knowing Christ more and being more like him. Pressing on. Really quickly, does everybody understand that Christianity is a participation thing? Yes, we are to participate. This is press on. This is active press on. Lastly, lay hold of, and I gave you the image already, but it's to fully grasp and pursue the purpose for which Christ Jesus has called you to. To grasp it and pursue the purpose. Another thing, before we get started, do you understand that Christ Jesus has given you all a purpose? If he has called you, he called you to a purpose. Now, I can't tell you what your purpose is this morning. I do not know. But I would encourage you, if you've never thought about that, if that's the first time you've ever heard that, to start petitioning Jesus and asking him, what is it that you've called me to? What is the purpose that you've empowered me for? To serve you, to glorify you. One of the clearest signs of spiritual danger is when someone thinks that they have arrived at perfection. Our flesh and the devil want us to be comfortable right where we're at. He loves a comfortable Christian. If he's anything, if he works with you guys like he works with me, and you deal with the same flesh that I deal with, you get to the place where you say, well, you've prayed enough. I mean, you're prayed up. God don't want to hear from you anymore. You're prayed up. You've prayed plenty of prayers in the past. No more prayers are needed. If you get to a place where you think you've served enough, I've done enough for the kingdom. I've done enough for this church. I've done enough. I've arrived. I've given my part. Or maybe you've attended enough. I've even heard people say and get to the place, I was in church from the time I was born all the way up, and now I'm older, and yeah, I've done the church thing. I've attended enough. You haven't arrived yet. You will never arrive with any of those things. Spiritual maturity is marked by a growing awareness that you have not arrived. Growing awareness. It should be more and more palpable each day that you're not there yet. You're not formed into the image of Jesus Christ. Your Christ-likeness is not where it's supposed to be, could be. Paul, the apostle, missionary, and writer of Scripture says, I have not attained it. I am not perfect yet. If Paul had not arrived, I have not arrived. If Paul had not arrived, you have not arrived. None of us have arrived. We've got to face it. Face that fact, or it'll hold you back. If you think that, the challenge is you're going to stop pressing on. You're not going to go forward. Many of you will go to the beach this summer. Some of you have already been there. You're excited. The car's packed. You've got a week off from work. You're going to go down there and do nothing for 7 days but burn your skin. That's what we're going to do for 7 straight days. I'm not even going to answer the phone. I'm not going to talk to anybody I want to talk to for 7 days. So you put the destination in. There's the condo. There's Hayden. There's the condo. The blue line goes all the way down there. And when you pull up, y'all are excited, ain't you? You're thinking about it right now, ain't you? And you park that car in the condo parking lot. You don't keep driving through the condo sand into the ocean, do you? No, you park right there. Why do you park? Because you've arrived. With your faith, you've never arrived until you pass from this life or until the clouds part and Jesus calls us home. That's the only time that you've arrived. You never should stop growing in Christ. Rather, the closer we come to Christ, the response should be the realization of how much more we need him. I know that's the way it is with me in Scripture. I used to think I knew a lot about Scripture. If you had asked me, I would have told you that I did. But now, as I've studied more and more, I realize how much I don't know. And I think that's the way, the closer we are to Christ, we realize how much further we have to grow into His Christ-likeness. You will not press on if you think you've already arrived. Our second truth, once Christ has taken hold of you, then you must refuse to be controlled by your past. Refuse to be controlled by your past. Let's look at the first part of verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Now this is twofold. We'll get there. Forgetting what lies behind is not erasing your memory and forgetting that anything has happened before, but it's refusing to be governed by those memories. Don't let them lead, guide, and direct and determine your future, what you're called to do. You cannot effectively run forward if you're constantly looking backwards. I'll race anybody in here if you'll look backwards as we go to a goal. Anybody. JR, I'll race you. Yep. Mm-hmm. If you'll look backwards. And I can be the one looking forward. Why? How well do you run looking backwards? It causes people to lose the Olympics. There was a runner several years ago. He was going to win. Everybody knew he was going to win. Nobody could run the hurdles like he could run. Nobody was even close. They had done the specials. They had done everything but giving him the gold medal. But on race day, they line up, and after he crosses that last hurdle, it's nothing but him and the finish line. He does one thing wrong. He looks back. And when he looked back, that runner right next to him, milliseconds, beat him. And they said, the only reason he lost is he took his eyes off the prize for a millisecond and looked back. It slowed him down and let the other guy come forward. That's how dangerous it is to look backwards. Some of you today may be stuck in past failures. You're weighed down. And the devil loves to talk to you about your past failures and bring those up. He never wants those wounds to heal. But also, there's another group. That's not the only problem in the past. It's your past failures, past sin. It could be your past accomplishments. And you're looking backwards going, look at what I did 10 years ago. Remember when I did that great thing? I shared the gospel with somebody a couple of weeks ago. I'm good. I probably don't need to do that for a little while. I won the Bible contest that time in kindergarten. So I hadn't read it since, but remember that? Remember those days? The glory days! If you're living in the glory days, you're probably not looking forward to what God's calling you to do today or tomorrow. So both those things, sin and past accomplishments, can keep you from going forward to what God's called you to do. Did Jesus have anything to say about this? Matter of fact, he did. Luke 9:62. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, don't look back. If you're going to follow him, you can't look backwards. You're going to have to look forwards, because guess where he should always be? Right in front of you. What from your past is still controlling your present this morning? Is it your past sin? Guess what? The Bible has already told us all have fallen short of the glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That sin, leave it back there. If you're a child of God this morning, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what that sin's covered with? His blood. If it's a past failure, you did something wrong. You made a grave mistake. You lived a certain way for a certain time. Leave that in the past and move forward to a new life. God has called you to a new life. He's given you a new birth. Move forward and let that be in the past. Maybe you've been hurt. You've been hurt by somebody. You've been hurt by a life event. It's time to move forward. Leave that in the past. Past achievements. Past faithfulness. Now, one thing on this. I use my past mistakes for God's glory in the future. I don't glory in my past mistakes, but what I do is I don't forget what I've done. I don't forget the mistakes that I made. I remember that person who made those mistakes, and it allows me to have grace and mercy for those that are still making those mistakes. So we don't completely forget our past, but we use it for the right reasons, if you will. And I think we all could do that. It certainly leads me to a place of grace when I struggle to have it. But if you allow the past to define you, excuse you, or satisfy you, it will hinder your obedience to Jesus today. You will never move forward if you keep looking backwards. If Christ has taken hold of us, then we must press toward Christ, your true goal. Christ is the goal, right? Am I wrong? Christ is the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. And Paul says here, he presses towards Christ. Look at the end of verse 13 and verse 14. And reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's excited. This is effort. This is striving. This is longing. This is wanting, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Striving, pressing on for the goal, for the prize. Do we have a goal as Christians? Do we have a great prize as followers of Jesus Christ? Absolutely is the answer. The goal is the finish line. What is the finish line? It's complete conformity to Jesus Christ. Anybody want to be like Jesus? That's a good goal. The prize is that glorious day when our sanctification will be complete, when we're called up yonder, and when Jesus will make us completely whole, sinless and perfect, and give us the new body. That's the prize. He says upward call. That's God's heavenward call in Christ. It's an invitation to rise with Him to glory. The Christian life is not an aimless effort. It's a focused pursuit. I don't have to tell y'all how to be busy. I know most of y'all. You're busy. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day on your calendar is completely filled. I get it. So being busy is not what I have to talk to you about. What I call your attention to today is, what are you busy doing? The crowds would have, they were happy to make Jesus as busy as he could be. Do y'all remember? Many times they would just compress him. They wanted healing. They wanted deliverance from demons. They wanted all these types of things. And if Jesus would have allowed them to set his schedule and his calendar, he would have been busy 24/7, constantly doing things for others. But what do we see Jesus do oftentimes? After a little while, you'd see him head out to the wilderness. You'd see him head up onto the mountain. What would he do? He had to go and refresh. He had to go get with the Father. He had to go get prayed up. He had to clear that schedule and go get right with God so that he can come back and serve and press on. Are we doing that? Do you have any place in your schedule to get out in the wilderness for a little while? Get off by yourself. Get to a place where it's just you and God, and let him renew you and replenish you so that you can press on. Today, that might be the one thing that's keeping you from pressing on. You've let everybody else tell you everything you need to do. You've let them set your schedule. You let them fill out your calendar. And you've got no time to get with God so that you can get ready to press on. Maybe that's something that you could do today, something to think about. And if your goal is unclear, guess what? Your effort's going to be misdirected. Let's go back to the beach illustration. Y'all were kind of smiling more when I was talking about your condo trip to the beach. If you don't put in the destination, how well is it going to be able to tell you how to get there? You may end up in Gatlinburg. If you don't know where you're going, you just get in the car and start taking right-hand turns and putting the gas down and setting a cruise control. They don't tell them where you're going to end up. And so many of us in our Christian lives, I think we're doing that. I've just got to go. I've just got to get in the car and I've just got to go. Well, you do need to go, but you really need to figure out where you're going. And spending a little time in prayer with God first, saying, God, where are we going today? What is my aim today? What am I pressing towards today? What will lead me to look more like you today? I think I would benefit by just taking a few seconds before I head off to go, God, wait a minute, where are we going, by the way? What is your life aimed at right now? Today, and I'm so proud to say this, and I'm thankful and truly with a thankful heart, you aimed to be at Blount Springs Baptist Church at 10:30 this morning. That was your aim. Guess where you are? In case you're wondering at this point, you are at Blount Springs Baptist Church in Blount Springs, Alabama, the church across the street from Top Hat, as we're called. You're here because you aim to be here. My question is, what are you aiming for tomorrow? The rest of the day? Usually, we hit what we're aiming at. But if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Don't aim at nothing. Aim at Christ-likeness. Pressing towards Christ means arranging your life around knowing Him now. It means becoming more like Him. And it's preparing us for the day that we're going to live with Him forever. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I'm thankful there's still a little bit of mystery. But every time I see the angels, they're doing a couple of things. They're praising God. They're singing to Him. And if right now, if we're not doing anything to prepare for that, what are we doing? We need to be preparing for forever, glorifying God. Getting ready for that. I'm excited for that. He's given us a great gift. And I want to sing praises to Him. I want to thank Him for what He's done for me. Each of us would do well to refocus our lives on knowing and becoming more like Christ each and every day. Returning to consistent prayer. We talked about praying when it was difficult this morning in Sunday school class. Sometimes I don't want to pray. But they corrected me. And they said, well, you need to be praying even when you don't feel like it. You need to get in there and get it done. I was like, okay, amen. That's a good lesson. I'll remember that next time I'm struggling. But are you struggling too? You've lost your consistency. Maybe you need to get that back today. Return to consistent prayer to God. I say this all the time, and I reckon as long as God will allow me to preach His Word, I'm going to keep telling y'all or whoever will listen to me. Spend time in God's Word every day. Every single day. Every day. Virginia asked me a novel question a couple of days ago. She said, Daddy, does God ever talk to you? Okay. I said, yeah, baby, He talks to me all the time. And she was like, Daddy, God talks to you? And I said, yeah. He don't talk to you? Well, what does He say? And I said, baby, He has spoken. And every time I open His Word, I'm reading His Word. Every time I read these words, God talks to me. And the awesome thing about it is not only does He speak to me, with the words on the page, He makes the words on the page come alive and they have different meanings in different parts of my life. I've read this thing. I don't know how many times I've read it. Here's a testimony. Every time I've read it, it speaks to me differently. The words are the same, but God uses those words to speak to me differently. If you're not experiencing that every single day, I beg you, give it a try. If nothing else, just try it tomorrow. and let God talk to you. Spend some time talking to Him. We need to start telling more people about Jesus. They're in desperate need of Him. We need to start telling people about Christ. Y'all all do something very well, I guarantee it. I do it exceptionally well and maybe better than most of you. I love to talk about myself. I'm my favorite subject. And most of y'all, if you're honest, you're your favorite subject too. I can talk to you for a few minutes and I guarantee you'll start talking about yourself. This is what we do. If we could be as excited to tell others about Jesus as we were to tell others about the latest thing going on in our life, I would have no more instruction for you. So just replace you with Him and see what happens. Evaluate your schedule. Does it include any time for you to grow in Jesus Christ? And if it doesn't, time to get an eraser or a marker and start marking through some things. Make some time to go to the mountain. Make some time to head out to the wilderness. I want to call your attention just really quickly to reaching forward. Maybe your Bible may say striving. It's easy to gloss over that. The intensity that Paul is teaching and talking about this morning, that means to strain every fiber of your muscles. To press on towards Jesus Christ. When I coached track that year, I loved to watch the backstretch of the final lap. It's my favorite part of the entire race because you see it. The strides, I mean, they're reaching out with their hands, they're reaching out with their feet, and I mean, they are trying to dig as much ground and put it behind them as possible. Is that the same image of how we're pressing towards Jesus Christ with every fiber of our being? That's what He's calling us to. That's the standard. But you will only press on and strive like that if Jesus Christ is truly your goal and ambition. Christ took hold of you, now what? When the gun sounded that morning in Birmingham, I did not stay at the starting line. I don't want to leave you there and think that I didn't run in that race. I did. I was excited. And that race had a lot of different parts to it. I really had some deep reflection on who Philip was and my mental sanity of ever signing up to do that. I mean, I really worked through a lot of things over 26.2 miles. But there was one thing I did not do at any point during that race. I never stopped, and I never quit. And as we pursue Christ, we can't do either one of those things either. You may slow down. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't walk through a few of them water stations and take a few walking breaks. I did. But what did I do? I kept moving forward, kept pursuing. Christ made you His, so press on to become like Him. For the Christians today, I'm going to break this in two parts like I usually do. Obviously, this was a heavily Christian message. You can't pursue Christ if you don't have Christ. But what I want to encourage you today is don't stay where you started. If you've been standing at the starting line today, pray and ask God to just help you to take one step towards Him. One step. One step of pursuit towards Christ-likeness. That's what I would call. If you're wondering, I'm a Christian now, what? Take one step through the power of the Holy Spirit towards Christ's likeness today. And if you don't know what Christ is like, He is found each and every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the book of Matthew all the way through the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're wondering what Jesus did and what you need to be doing to follow Him, it's right there. It's on the page. And if you need a Bible, we got a ton of them in there, and I'll give you one before we leave. For the non-believers today, you cannot run this race until Christ takes a hold of you. And some of you, it may be denying that. You know He's reaching down. You feel it in the deepest part of your soul. You know that Jesus has been running after you, trying to take a hold of you, wanting to take a hold of you, wanting to take you in his arms and love you forever. But you're just like, not now, not today. That's one of the greatest lies of the devil. You can do it tomorrow. You know why he loves that lie? Because tomorrow often never comes. So today is the day of salvation. If Christ is trying to take hold of you this morning through faith, that's how we do it, through faith and confession, belief, trusting in Jesus Christ alone and asking for his forgiveness, that's how you can have salvation today. That's how you can be in his grip. That's how you can grip him back. And that's how you can forget the past, because Christ is going to forgive it. And that's how you can press towards to a life in Jesus Christ, a purposeful life. Amen. I want to encourage you to do that today. Jeff, you and the team can come up. Today, we trust in the Holy Spirit for you to respond, whether that's what we just talked about, a response in salvation. Maybe you've been putting off believer's baptism. You do have faith in Jesus Christ. You've not been baptized. You've been putting that off for some reason. We want to encourage you to do that, because not only did Jesus do it as an example for us by John the Baptist, but also when he gave the Great Commission, baptism was part of that, so it's part of following Christ. It's really one of the first responses after following Christ. If you've not done that, we can talk about that today. If you'd like to know more about the church, if you just need somebody to pray with you, you're struggling this morning, you want somebody to join you, lay hands on your shoulder, and just petition God on your behalf, that's available today. All those things. However the Holy Spirit leads you to respond. But I'm going to give you one sentence, and I'm going to get out of the way. Christians, the race for us has already begun. The gun is fired. The tape is broken. Don't stand still. Press on.